Good morning, everyone. Do they give long sermons here? I mean, I could make Father Dermot look really, really good by giving you a really, really long one, and then you'll love him next week. You have no idea how nervous I am, but with you in front of me and with these behind me. But I'm very privileged that you've imported somebody from Manchester to come to the Northeast on this beautiful celebration of 20 years of youth ministry. I am getting a train this evening back to Manchester, so you'll probably never see me again, so I'm going to just dive in and dive out, and you won't be able to get me. But it's a wonderful thing to celebrate 20 years of youth ministry in the diocese. So if I'm going on too long, just start waving, and I know when to stop. They told me you were serious up here. Anyway, as you know, today actually would be, in the normal church, the feast of St. Francis. St. Francis of Assisi. And what a beautiful icon and model for all of us. Someone radically following our Blessed Lord and the values of the Gospel. And of course, our Pope, the present Pope, has taken the name Francis in his desire that the church will be a poor church working for the poor. And the Pope has started a whole process, has continued the process of a word that Bishop Seamus already used, evangelization. And we're talking about new evangelization. And tomorrow, as you know, in Rome, we have a brand new synod, an extraordinary synod on the family and on marriage and on relationships in the church. And it's another step in this process of evangelization, a new evangelization, which is really the whole reason why we have a youth ministry and a youth village. So this word, which has been thrown around so much, evangelization, new evangelization, to evangelize, what does it mean? That has to be our starting point. And evangelization is just a big way to say good news. There is good news that we badly need to hear. There is good news that the world out there desperately needs to hear. And we've been entrusted with this good news. And what is the good news? The good news is incredibly simple. It boils down to this. You are loved. You are loved utterly. You are loved absolutely, unconditionally, by the one behind life. And so many human beings have a fearsome image of God. So many human beings are afraid of God, and God is distant or absent. And the good news is that God is closer to us than we are to ourselves, and God is hopelessly in love with you, in love with us, infinitely, with no end. And that love that God has, we just heard in the first reading, nothing and no one can tear us away from God's love, no matter what we do. And that's good news. And that's what we need to hear. Some of us sometimes think God only loves bits of us, that God only loves the good bits. You know, most of us are struggling with our own lives. Most of us haven't got our whole lives together. And there are sides and dimensions of our lives that are not right and are not good. And we sometimes think that God only likes the good bits. I think some of you know the song by John Legend. Hello? Some of you know the song by John Legend? The whole of me loves the whole of you. And the whole of God loves the whole of you. The whole of God loves you exactly the way you are. And once that sinks into our heads, this is going to be the beginning of evangelization. The whole of God loves the whole of you. Not just the good bits, not just when you come to Mass on a Sunday, but Monday through to Saturday, everything we do, God is totally, utterly in love with us. Our Blessed Lord, when he came up out of the water, he experienced the Spirit come down upon him. And he experienced a voice. You are my son, the beloved. All my delight runs through you. And what our blessed Lord experienced at his baptism, each one of us experiences the same. God says to each one of us, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. All my delight runs through you. All my favor is with you. God delights in us. And the world needs to know that. And we need to know it. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he was up and out. And he immediately, after his baptism, associated other people in his mission of spreading the good news. He was a team player, a collaborator. He didn't go alone to communicate to people. And towards the end of his life, the night before he dies, his last testament is this: Father, may the whole world know that you have loved them as much as you love me. The last testament of Jesus of Nazareth is that may the whole of creation know that you love them, each one of them, with the same love you have for me. So each one of us is loved utterly, infinitely, unconditionally, with the same love that the Father has for the Son. And that is tremendous news. And because of that, we too are sent. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. And the moment the waters of baptism were poured on your head, you were literally sent, commissioned, mandated to be good news for other people. And so, my friends, to follow what Pope Francis wants, each one of us here is an evangelizer. By virtue of our baptism, we are sent ourselves to be good news to other people and help them understand what this good news is. Now, Pope Francis has done us a great service 11 months ago. He wrote this famous document, which I'm sure you've heard 1,000 times, The Joy of the Gospel. And the joy of the gospel, you remember Martin Luther King, 51 years ago, I have a dream? Pope Francis's I have a dream is encapsulated in this beautiful document, The Joy of the Gospel. It's his manifesto. It's his vision statement. It's his Magna Carta for his vision of the church, for you and for me, and certainly for the local church in Hexham and Newcastle. I would even take The Joy of the Gospel as a personal letter to you here in this diocese. It's not too difficult. It's not the easiest of reads, but it's not too difficult. And it's almost conversational, like a personal letter from our Pope to the local bishop, the local priest, and to the people of God in the local community. Take it as a blueprint of what you're going to do for the next 20 years in this diocese. And what do you see? It begins with an invitation to a personal encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. Our faith is not a list of truths. Our faith is not assenting to a load of propositions. Our faith is a someone. It's a you. It's a thou. It's a person who is in love with us and who is inviting our response. So the starting point is an invitation to an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. And the encounter issues in joy. When you encounter Jesus and you realize that you are loved to bits, the whole of God is loving the whole of you, that your life is hidden with Christ in God, that already you are raised with Christ in your deepest being, then nothing can touch us, and joy is what issues. So please listen to what Pope Francis says negatively in The Joy of the Gospel as a first stage. What should an evangelizer not be? What should we not be? We should not be all Lent and no Easter. He tells us there are so many Christians who are full of Lent. They live as though it's an eternal Lent and there's no Easter. He says your face shouldn't look as though you've just come out of a requiem. You shouldn't look as though you're coming out of a funeral. An evangelizer shouldn't look as though you're coming out of a funeral. What else does he say? He says, no to grey pragmatism. No grey pragmatism. No sterile pessimism. It's the first document in the papal magisterium where you'll find the word no sourpuss. I challenge you, show me another document where he says sourpuss. Pope Francis says an evangelizer can't have a sourpuss, and you can't have a heart as sour as vinegar. This is a great pastor. He says no tomb psychology, making Christians into mummies in a museum. So that's the negative bit. Instead, what is an evangelizer? A woman or a man aglow, radiant, transparent as a witness of Christ because of the joy which inhabits us. Not a cozy optimism, but a deep joy. Only human beings who have suffered deeply can exude a joy. I hope there's no air hostesses here, but I'm not talking of the cosmetic smile of an air hostess. That is not joy. The modern technological society produces pleasure. It's very hard to produce joy. And that comes from an encounter with Christ. So Pope Francis says, joy, I have a dream for Hexham and Newcastle. I have a dream of a missionary option where the mission permeates and transforms everything in the local church. Your agendas, your diaries, your timetable, your schedule, your task, everything in the church should be controlled by the idea of mission. Because his document, The Joy of the Gospel, is about creating a community of missionary hearts, of missionary disciples. The whole key and style is mission. Some of you perhaps went on these World Youth Days. Anybody on the World Youth Day? Yeah, anybody go to Brazil? Anybody go to Brazil? I can see a hand in Brazil, thank God. Pope Francis said to the young people, and he apologized to the bishops, he said to the young people, I want you to go back and make a noise. Now, he spoke in Portuguese, but he was thinking in Spanish, and the word for noise was, make a rumpus, cause a fuss, disturb. You know, and what did the Pope say? I apologize to the bishops, young people, get out into the streets and tell them that the parish, the schools, and the institutions are meant to be outward. They're meant to go out. And in the document, The Joy of the Gospel, how many times do you find the word go, go out, go forth? And he begins with Abraham. Abraham, leave your father and go to the land I will show you. Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, set my people free. Jeremiah, go to the people I will send you to. And our blessed Lord, Peter comes in the morning to get Jesus and says, the whole town is looking for you. Come in, stay here. And Jesus says, no, I must go to the next town. I must go off because that is why I was sent to go. And the last word of Matthew's gospel, go out to the nations, go. That every mass ends, go. It's not staying. This is mission. And Pope Francis has this beautiful vision that we are called to be out in the streets, out in the crossroads. And most of all, he asks us to have a metanoia, a conversion. He asks us to have an exodus out of our comfort zones and our cozy complacencies and our cozy compromises and go out to the peripheries and to the outskirts. Pope Francis invites us to go to the existential peripheries. Now, you might be saying in Newcastle, what on earth is an existential periphery? But it's basically this. This is not geography. This is not geography. I have to ask myself, where are my comfort zones? Where are my cozy compromises and my cozy complacencies? And I'm called to reach out to the outskirts and to the peripheries. Now, paradoxically, the peripheries are not the suburbs. The periphery can be under my nose. An existential periphery and the existential outskirts are not geographical. Wherever a human being is in need, wherever someone is crying out for affirmation and affection, wherever there is unspeakable loneliness and people with no meaning and no hope, that's the periphery. That's the outskirts. And under our noses, there are men and women starving. And our blessed Lord says, go and feed them yourselves. Go and feed them with your friendship and your affection by going out, reaching out. This document, The Joy of the Gospel, is an invitation to a massive conversion, an exodus from comfort and security. And Pope Francis very eloquently says this, look, I know on the streets there are accidents, but if you stay locked in a room, in a closed room, the air gets stale, you're going to get old and sick. I would prefer you to be accident prone on the street rather than old and stale and sick, locked up in a room. He says you've got to take the risk of leaving your securities behind. Leave the security on the shore and pull out into deep water. He says to be bold, to be creative, to be courageous, to take risks. This is the mission key. This is it. And in the beauty, by the way, if you just take paragraph 49 of the document, take it, get it on Google, print it, stick it on your fridge with a magnet. So you see it on your fridge every day. What does 49 of the Joy of Gospel say? I would rather have a church which is hurt, bruised, and dirty, rather than have a church which is unhurt, unbruised, and clean, locked in the security of its rectories and its institutions. He's saying we need to be smelling of the sheep. We need to be mixing with the people. We need to get our shoes dirty. Have you noticed the Pope does not wear red Prada shoes? We have to get out into the streets, get our feet soiled. This is what mission is. And much better to be hurt, bruised, and dirty, but to be radiant with the joy. And so how do we do this? Pope Francis speaks about a revolution of tenderness. How many times in the Joy of the Gospel do we find the word mercy and compassion? Tomorrow begins the synod in Rome for family and marriage. How many delicate issues will be faced? We need to respond with mercy and with compassion. Mercy is the heart of the gospel. Mercy is the essence of God. Our God's name is mercy. Compassion is when the pain and the hurt of another human being grabs you in your guts and you respond to them. You respond with tenderness. I'm sure many of you saw that image of Pope Francis in the Piazza San Pietro when he saw Vinicio Riva, that 53-year-old man from Vicenza in the north, who was covered with tumors and ulcers from neurofibromatosis. Did you not see that picture? That picture looked like a modern leper, when many human beings would recoil and would be repulsed at the ulcerated, the lesions and the cancerous growth all over his body. Pope Francis just saw him in the crowd and spontaneously went to him and embraced him like Francis of Assisi embraced the leper. And he kissed him. He didn't even say a word. And in that moment, the Pope didn't know if he was contagious or not. In that moment of cancelling out the distance and embracing a disfigured human being, we have the revolution of tenderness. The Pope, who never ceases, he's 77 years of age. He'll be 78 in December. I come from Salford Diocese. My bishop just retired this week, a young man of 75. He's just retired. The Pope was 76 when he started. He's 77 now, and he's on for 78. His tenderness and his gentleness. You see, the washing of the feet, not of 12 altar boys or sacristans, but of delinquents, not in the marble halls of St. John Lateran, but Casal del Marmo, a detention center in Rome, with 12 young people, men and women, tattoo. I've never seen so many tattoos on feet in all my life. That's what he washed, that's what he kissed, including the feet of a Muslim woman, and he kissed. On his birthday, the 17th of December, when he was 77, what did he do? He went out to the piazza and brought in three men of the road, Martin, and the dog called Bob Marley. He brought them in for breakfast in the Vatican. The impact of this Pope, who never ceases to surprise us, not with superficial gestures. Pope Francis is as serious as they get. His sincerity, his integrity, his wanting to be with people, to smell of the sheep, to get his feet dirty, to mix and mingle. He himself is a paradigm for the future. And just to finish, what's the key? Our blessed Lord, in the morning, long before dawn, in the evening, after sunset. What was the key to Jesus of Nazareth's life? He carved out segments of solitude when he could be alone with his God. In the morning, long before dawn, our blessed Lord is up and out and alone with his Father to connect, to recharge his batteries. How can you do youth ministry? Where do you get the energy for youth ministry, retreats and talks, unless deep inside you've got the inner resources, your battery's charged through prayer? There's an invitation for all of us to prayer, to personal encounter with our Lord. And then this blueprint, this dream, this revolution of tenderness, this reaching out to the outskirts and the existential peripheries, humanly speaking, would be impossible for us, but we've been guaranteed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, we can transform, we can recreate, we can bring the people of God, the kingdom of God, here to Hexham and Newcastle by a life of prayer, being open to the Spirit. And finally, today's feast, Francis of Assisi, the famous thing he said, always and everywhere preach the gospel. Always and everywhere preach the good news. But only use words if you have to. Thank you.